Rage after stillbirth is real and it's rarely talked about. In this deeply validating episode, we explore what rage really is, how it shows up in our bodies, why it's so taboo in our culture, and how safe expression can be a vital part of our healing journey. You'll learn trauma-informed ways to release your anger without shame, some somatic practices for emotional regulation, and why finding a community who gets it can transform your grief journey. This episode is for every mom who's ever felt that fucking rage and wondered, is this normal? And spoiler alert, it is. And you're not alone, mama. Hey, love. Welcome back to the Pregnancy Loss and Motherhood Podcast. I'm your host, Valen Webb. And today's episode is one that we haven't discussed a lot of. And I feel like a lot of us need right now. And also, we don't talk about it in our culture. So today we're really talking about rage. Rage, fucking fierce rage. Not irritation, not that sadness, disguised as snarky, but rage. That feeling, that emotion that builds up in your chest. You know, it starts small and then grows and grows, kind of like a wildfire, just fucking taking over everything. It can be a slow build. It can be like all at once explosive in your face. And if you've experienced stillbirth, you may have felt this. Whether you've allowed yourself to, whether you've acknowledged it or not, or tried to stuff it down like I did because it was scary and because I was never taught that it was an appropriate emotion, and also not taught or explained how to appropriately and healthily express it. So let's just jump in. So first we're going to start out with the definition. So rage is a natural biological protective response. Biological as in it happens. We can't necessarily stop it from happening. It's there to protect us. It's your body's way of saying this was not okay. It's part of a trauma response right alongside the fight, flight, freeze, and fawn responses. The thing about rage, it's not just emotional, it's physical. I mean, I can just talking about this, I have goosebumps and my body keeps the score, right? So I know how that feels. Some ways that this comes out. So maybe you get a tight chest, you know, your breathing may hasten and your chest tightens, your jaw could clench. You may have shaky hands. So this is me as like shaky hands, sudden explosive crying. I experienced that, especially in the beginning of my journey after Evelyn died, needing to punch a pillow, to scream, to throw something, to hurt something. And this isn't like abusive hurt something. Okay. This isn't like me saying that. It's or wanting to completely shut the world out. It's like an alarm. Okay. It's like an emotional alarm bell. And instead of honoring it, being like, okay, being able to put a name to it is the first thing that most of us don't know how to do. What, you know, experience this in a few different ways. The first, before Evelyn even died, I experienced postpartum rage and postpartum depression after the birth of my second daughter, Violet. I didn't know it could happen. I didn't know it was a thing. I didn't know. So when it was happening to me and I couldn't understand the feelings, the emotional and the physical feelings I was feeling, and I would get so angry that your brain is trying to make sense of it and you don't have a name for it. And for me, it was like, I thought I was going crazy. It was my husband's fault. It was my children's fault. It was my fault. When you can't put a name to something, you cannot take the power away from that thing. You can't neutralize it. You can't make a plan for it when it shows up. So a lot of times, especially in grieving mothers, instead of honoring that feeling, because we may have never experienced it before this, we tend to shame it. Women have been shamed for centuries for any type of emotional outburst. Can you imagine if we are like, oh my God, I was raging yesterday, or I had these rage sensations, like, or if somebody saw you experiencing it, what they would think of us? It's a whole thing. So we tend to shame it instead of get curious about it. But listen when I say, listen, when rage says, this never should have fucking happened, or Rach says, no one listened to me. Nobody was listening to me. Nobody was taking what I was saying seriously. Rach says, they sent me home when I begged for help. Rach says, where was the care? Where was the compassion? Where are the trained fucking people to help me through this? Why don't they care? Right, like my goosebumps right now is unreal right now. Okay. And that's a big part of why I wanted to talk about this today. If you're new here, my daughter Evelyn was stillborn at 40 weeks and 5 days, July 20th, 2019. For those of you who've been around a while, you know that July is coming up and I tend to have a very hard summer. June and July are very hard for me. Some days are easier, some days are harder. But when I start having these feelings and I just need to do something, I try to sit with it instead of, you know, numbing it or, you know, trying to do something to get out of that feeling and the emotions. So I got on Facebook, I went on my support groups, and I was just trying to support other moms, other people who are going through this by witnessing their pain and witnessing their beautiful babies, and my rage started boiling. How the fuck are all of these babies dying? There's a lot of statistics out there, okay? And I just, once I got into that ragey thing and I was looking at resources that some of these moms use that they really appreciated, because I'm always trying to collect them for my listeners, for the people that I help, for families who need them. And I want to make sure they're great, right? But I was reminded that there is a documentary on YouTube called America's Stillbirth Crisis. And some of the statistics that they shared made me even more enraged. It's not that I haven't seen them before, but something in me is different and I'm feeling different about it. But one of those statistics was stillbirth is the number one cause of death in children ages 0 to 14. It's the number one cause of death in children ages 0 to 14. Weighs preterm birth, it outweighs SIDS, it outweighs drowning, all of these things that they collect data on. And to me, I'm like, why are we not doing anything? And statistically, one of four stillbirths can be prevented. One of four. And stillbirth typically happens one out of every 75. And in my heart, of course, as a mom, I'm like, mine could have been prevented. Maybe if I would have just gotten induced like I had my first two times at 40 weeks instead of going over, maybe she'd be here, because she died at that 4-day mark, 40 weeks and 4 days. As far as we know, I mean, I didn't do an autopsy because I didn't want anybody cutting into her. And of course, I kind of regret that now, because maybe there was an underlying cause, but genetic testing, all the ultrasounds that we did, the blood work, the placenta testing, like the only why they could really give me was maybe half placental abruption, half maybe cord accident, because her cord was tightly wound around her shoulders. But the point of this being, the rage that I felt two nights ago was unbearable. And it was one of those, it wasn't to the point where I wanted to hit something, but it was definitely where I felt I needed to do something, right? For me, that was going to get like a Diet Pepsi and some Doritos. My emotional support. Sorry, I just looked out the window and my husband is on the trampoline with a broom trying to broom off all these terrible tree seed pods. Anyways, so why don't we talk about rage? And really the difficult ultimate truth is that rage is uncomfortable. It's not pretty. It's not something that you can put a bow on and make it okay. Like, even though it is okay, it's uncomfortable for us to talk about. It's uncomfortable for us to like shine a light on that part of us because of the shame, and we don't want people to look at us in a different way. It's uncomfortable for others because they don't know how to hold that for you. They don't know how to hold it for themselves. It's uncomfortable for society because we've been told that for centuries that women are, you know, overly emotional and hysterical, all of these things. We have been shamed for centuries. But rage, it doesn't discriminate. It's in all sexes, all races. It's everywhere for everybody. We've been taught to be quiet grievers. You know, we've been taught to cry in private to move on. But the anger and the rage challenges that narrative. And that's uncomfortable because we don't want to be the first ones doing it. We don't, you know, being a trailblazer is great and all, but it's terrifying to go against that because we don't want to be thrown out of our communities, right? We don't want to be treated like, rage is not something people expect from you in your grief. It's not something that we expect of ourselves because we don't talk about it. Women, especially mothers, are expected to be nurturing and composed. But when our babies die, we are fucking ripped wide open. Not just physically from giving birth, but emotionally. Rage is completely valid. It's a completely valid response to our trauma, to the loss of our child. And yet, when we talk about it or show it, people may flinch, or maybe they back away, or maybe they try to change the subject, or they try to minimize it. Oh, yeah, you know, I've felt that anger before, a sadness. Like, you'll be fine. It's, you know, like, can you imagine? I'll be very vulnerable right now with my rage. So when I had a moment when my kids were busy watching a show or taking a nap, I would sit in my, so it was really great because you'd go into our bedroom, shut the door, go into our master bath, shut the door. And then our closet was on the other side and shut the door. So I had this very, very safe place in my closet in our home. And I would scream into a pillow. I would punch the pillow. I would hit the floor with my fists. Sometimes when I was just uncontrollable, like not knowing what to do, I would punch the wall outside the bathroom door. To me, that's really embarrassing to say that I was hurting myself, not purposely, like I wanted to hurt the wall. I just physically needed to do something. And I think we forget we're humans. Like, we were meant to be, we are physical beings. Like, there's a reason we have rage and a reason that we need to express that. And there are healthy ways to do that. Now, I didn't have the tools at the time. I didn't know who to talk to. And it's obvious that I still feel some kind of shame around it because I would have hated for like my girls to see me, my living children. How embarrassing is that? Like, how am I going to explain that to somebody who sees me just punching a wall or sitting screaming in a closet? How do you explain that? Okay. So what happens? We tend to stuff it down. I did that too. After a while, we numb it. We get stuck in guilt and shame instead of practicing or learning how to release that. But here's the truth that I want you to hold on to, and that's you are allowed to be angry. You're allowed to be rageful. You're allowed to be angry at the system. You're allowed to be angry at your body. You're allowed to be angry at God. You're allowed to be angry at the unfairness. The anger doesn't make you a bad mom. It makes you human. And I'm sorry, this is such an emotional episode. But I just want you to hear me. And I want you to know that it is okay to be here. A lot of my episodes, this is Evelyn's 6th birthday is coming up. I'm 6 years in and I'm still feeling all the feels. I'm still feeling all my grief. It comes and goes. It shows up as a priority in my life at times. And sometimes it's in the background, right? Kind of just idling. It's always there. You're allowed to have these feelings. To me, I think there's parts of it, my rage, that expressing the rage helps our healing or helped my healing. You know, rage holds a truth for you, and that's your brain and your body trying to protect you, okay? It's a protective mechanism that happens because something is so unfair and so cruel that you should not have to go through, and that is just not justified. And so when you're able to express it safely, it can be freeing. And then when we suppress it, it festers. It makes things worse. It can turn into more depression. It can turn into anxiety, physical illness, disconnection from others. And then, you know, think about it. Like, how about when or if we can honor that rage? Rage then becomes that fuel. That driving force for healing, for change, for claiming your story, from taking your power back to confronting the doctor or medical people who maybe have done something wrong or didn't listen to you or took your birthing choice away like mine was. I mean, expressing rage can help you reclaim your voice. I'm sorry, guys. I got all this, you know, now I got snot, tears, and expressing rage can help you reconnect with your body. It can help you loosen the grip of the trauma, make things a little more ease, have a little more ease. Expressing that rage can make you feel like it can feel real again. Life, you're not stuck. And most importantly, it helps you release. You have to have release from your rage. That's not to say your rage won't be triggered later on, but there's ways to process it and release it in a safe way that can help your healing. So what are some safe ways to express your rage? Okay, and these are not things that I knew 6 years ago when I was going through this. So one of those is somatic movement. It's very intentional movement, helps process and move energy through your body. Shaking your hands out, like just hold them out to the side and shake. Okay. Stomping your feet, literally stomping as hard as you can. Better yet, do it outside in the grass, in the dirt, ground into that earth. Stomp the fuck out of that ground with your feet. And I'm not like, these are real things that help your body. It moves that energy out of your body. Dance like nobody's watching, and not as a cliche. This isn't about your choreography. It's about releasing what's in your body. A lot of cultures use dance as a tool. Rebounding on a trampoline is another one that really helps you. Again, we're focusing on moving that energy through your body. And then there's one that I've seen. There's this amazing Asian man on Instagram. He does all this like somatic movement things. But if you stand up and you just twist the upper portion of your body and let your arms swing and like hit your chest with your hands as your arms swing and then do that body shaking. That is, but I'll have to actually, let me write that down. I'll put it in the show notes, his Instagram page, but he does a lot of somatic movements. And okay, what's next? Vocal release. Okay. Talk about raging. This is like, you know, and I know this isn't always possible. We have little ones around. Screaming. Okay. So screaming into a pillow was always one that you can do. You don't even have to do it into a pillow. Go stand on a mountaintop. Go stand in a forest. Go into your car. Turn up the music and scream. You know, if you like screamy music, just sing to it in the car, like as loud as you can. Humming is a, like, I didn't know this. Humming is one of those things that really moves energy, but it also moves like lymphatic mucus, but fluids, like the fluids in your body. Moaning is one too. Yes. But humming, low tones, like the vibrations help calm your vagus nerve. And so doing that for a few minutes, like obviously taking breaks in between, moaning or groaning, those really low vibrational sounds, sound moves energy, just like movement. Number three. So one is somatic movement. Two is vocal release. Three, rage rituals. Okay. This is the punching the fucking pillow. Buying a punching bag off of Facebook Marketplace that you can hang up and beat the shit out of. You can use a tennis racket on your mattress or your pillow. Write a rage letter. Rip it up and burn it. We don't want anybody reading these because we may make it about something to somebody else, but it's really not. And then they read it. Rip it up and burn the fuck out of it. Throw it into a million pieces in the garbage or recycling bin, whatever. Again, these are safe things you can do. Number four is ground and soothe. So once you do any of these first three, following your rage with grounding is very helpful. So do your screaming, do your humming, do your tennis racket on the mattress. And then we want to follow up with just breathing. I always just place my hand, I say heart, but it's really like on my chest by my throat. And I put another hand on my stomach and I just breathe. I take really intentional, like I count. I use the box breathing method where it's four in, hold four out, hold four. It's, you know, so, or hands wherever it feels safe. And then you can name three things that you see, hear, or feel. You know, I always tell myself, I am safe. It's safe to feel this. It's safe to feel this way. I am safe now. I am safe. We are the biggest part of our healing journey. It is up to us. And I want this to be a safe space for you. Also understanding that community is so essential to our healing journey. And I want you to always be reminded that there are so many of us out there that will gladly and lovingly hold you and listen to you and witness what you're going through. You are never meant to carry this alone. You are never meant to carry the rage alone and not know what to do with it. Being witness in your grief and your anger is so healing, because you can be this way. You can be angry and yell and scream, and we will still just sit there and be like, we got you. You're safe. When another mom looks at you and says, I felt that too, it just rewires something. You know, you feel that you're not broken. This is grief. For a lot of us, we've never felt such profound grief, and we may never feel it as intensely again. Again, this is an out of order death. We grew up knowing our grandparents and our parents are going to die before us. We know this. It's our life cycle. We were never meant to live without our babies. And that's why I created this podcast. It's why I'm creating this network of healing in the podcast, our training and education for professionals, our Evelyn James shop, the support spaces, the tools, you know, to remind you that rage is welcome here. You're not too much. You're not alone. You're not crazy. You're not overly emotional. You're not, what's the term I used? Hysterical. Now, you can be hysterical after the death of your baby, because like I was hysterical, whole other episode there. But that fire and that rage that's burning within you is sacred. It's protective. It's loving. We were just never taught how to hold it and how to process and release it when it needs to be. So before we go, I would love it if you would take a deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. And I really want you to ask yourself, whether it's just an internal conversation, maybe you want to journal it, but what part of my grief still holds rage? Is there parts of your story that still enrages you because something happened? Something wrongful happened, something unjustified, something, the way you were treated, the way your baby was treated or talked about. What part of your grief still holds rage? I would love for you to journal on that today. Even just write it down and come back to it later, or just kind of think about it in your head, whatever feels good for you. And then I also, though, want you to maybe write or think about, how can I express that safely without judgment? How can I express that rage safely without judgment? Remember, you do not have to do this alone. Come share your story with us. You can DM me at valenweb.official on Instagram, or join our email list at evelynjames.shop to get free tools and reminders. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being brave. And until then, I will see you next Monday. Remember today just to breathe, to feel. Be real with yourself. You don't have to hide your grief. And we're here. This episode was brought to you in partnership with White Elm. The Aquila Tote is my ride or die for every hospital visit, postpartum doula session, and Target run. You can grab yours at shopwhiteelm.com/valenweb and support her work at the same time. I do this podcast absolutely free, and I do get a commission when you buy a bag with my unique code, and it really helps support the podcast so that I can continue doing these episodes. Please, if you are willing, don't forget to rate and review the show on whatever platform you listen on. Every review helps us reach more lost families and break the silence around stillbirth. Also, check out the Evelyn James shop, which is soft launching with more healing resources coming soon at evelynjames.shop. And then you can also find our book. I am officially a published author and actually considered a best-selling published author, with our Stories of Friends and Families Lost, which is now available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And if this episode spoke to you, please share it with a friend who needs it. We love you. Have a great week. And that's a wrap for today's episode, friend. If something in this conversation spoke to you, moved you, or helped you feel a little less alone, can you please take a second and just leave a 5-star rating or written review? I know I've said it before, but it helps more than you know, and it really tells all the platforms that this podcast matters to people like you and me. Also, make sure to check the show notes for all the links. Get your exclusive White Elm discount if you're interested in a bag or a purse. The discount code is VALENWEB, so you can always just type that into a checkout. And then something really exciting, we are officially in the soft launch phase of the Evelyn James shop. This is I like to say it's like the Etsy or Amazon of perinatal loss for bereaved parents and families and friends. It's where I want people to go to find that perfect gift or keepsake, to find the vetted resources and the tools and people and services that will really help you heal and move forward. So again, soft launch, check it out. It's just evelynjames.shop. And also, I'm officially a published author. You can now grab Stories of Friends and Families Lost, which is a beautiful compilation created by Trennis Goggins and other contributors, including me. It's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble currently, so please go check that out. The link is also in the show notes. And also make sure to find me on Instagram at valenweb.official. I would love you to be involved in the journey and the process of creating the legacy for Evelyn. And lastly, as always, please share this episode with a friend who might need it. That's how we grow. That's how we change the conversation around grief and motherhood and help each other. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.